Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, every one of you that helped to make this church what it is. And I know the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, but how many knows that it really adds some flavor when somebody can carry a tune and make it beautiful? Hallelujah. Well, I just want to welcome everyone out, and I don't know if you're, let's see anybody that hasn't filled out a visitor's card. If you're new here if you could just do us a favor and fill out a visitor's card, give us a little contact information. We have our usher, Jerry, in the back. Just raise your hand. And if you've not done that, we read the things that you mark on there, and we really want to be active, proactive in meeting whatever it is that you're looking for in a church. Questions that you might have. Amen. We don't want anybody to leave here a stranger. Amen. And leave here feeling like you made a couple new friends. So just we have an offering basket up here. We can, if you fill that out and drop it in there, maybe you got one already. And let's just pray over the offering. Now just stretch your hands out. I like how Brother Tom put it one time. He said, I have tithers insurance. That's a great way of looking at it. God said if we're faithful to bring all of our tithes and offerings, that he will rebuke the devourer for our sake. Amen. He'll watch over our stuff and go past the warranty. If it's going to break down, it'll break down before the warranty. Amen. Not a day after. So, Father, we thank you for these precious gifts. We thank you for the precious people that have sacrificed their time and their finances to see your kingdom go forward. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to support the orphanages in Africa and Thailand. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to have abundance around here, that, Lord, when there's a need that comes up. We just thank you, Lord, that you are such a good and faithful God to us. And may your blessing rest strong and mighty on this that we have given and the people that are involved in helping to support the work. In Jesus' name, amen. So, well, if you have your Bibles, I pray that you have your Bibles. Might be a day that comes where your phone might not work, you know. That's always a possibility. My wife took she was bringing communion stuff to the church, put a box outside when we lived in Portland, realized she forgot something, ran back in the house, and the box was running down the street with two people with two phones in it, mine and hers, and some other stuff. And so I told her if we'd have left two Bibles out there by the car, they'd still be there. So I'm going to read in a couple of different passages here to get us started. And I'm going to be talking about faith today that can be found in two places. Thank you, Rick. Faith in two places. And Hebrews chapter 6. Or 11, rather, chapter 11, verse 6, is where I want to start out. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I want to just pause there for a minute and say, one of the things that we learned in Bible school was one of the instructors that came spoke of meeting somebody that was from ancient Greek, or that was studying the Greek, the older Greek language. And in their, it's a dead language now, but at the time that the Bible was written, Greek was the main language of the world, like English is today. And so he asked him, he said, how did you like studying the old Greek language. And the guy said, I hated it. Well, why is that? He said, well, because just one word sometimes took up a whole paragraph and sometimes pages to describe the meaning of what that is. And so what we have with our translation, this is what was taught us in Bible school. It's not meant to make you wonder if your translation is right or not, but what we have is we have linguists, is that the way they say that? That translated from Greek and Hebrew into the English language. How many knows even words change over time? And but it was pointed out to us in school that this word seek could be better understood to say ask or inquire of. You okay with that? Seek? I was thinking while I was sitting over in the last song, this young kid at work, new convert, stopped me in the lunchroom. I shared a little bit about this the other day, but he stopped me in the lunchroom and asked for me to pray with him. And what's going on? Well, I got a problem. I got a girl problem. And I think she might be going out with my friend. And I said, well, does the girl know your feelings towards her? Well, no. So I said, well, it might help if she knew by some kind of verbal expression from you that you are interested in her. So we prayed, and I talked to him the other day, and he said, it turns out that she didn't go out with his friend. He had imagined or thought that that was what was getting ready to happen. So there's still hope for the young fellow. Amen? people that are shy have that issue sometimes. Amen? So seek is, from what we were taught in school, could be, we look at that he that comes to God must first of all believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently inquire, would be another way to look at it. Ask. Look at your neighbor and say, inquire or ask? Inquire or ask? Do you think it's okay to ask? Didn't God want us to ask him stuff? Now, I was thinking about the other night when, it's funny how the timing of God is, but I got some school money for going to school last year. It showed up in the mail, and first thing my wife did was ask how much of that we can spend on the grandkids. I never gave her a straight answer. But all the kids were sitting around Grandma and making their requests known. They weren't leaving it up for chance. Now, if they would have left it up to Grandpa, I could think of some things, you know, like some work gloves maybe or a shovel. But they stayed away from me. They went to Grandma. We need to be asking and seeking, amen? And I believe that the Lord is wanting that. He doesn't want us just to be dumbed down and just, well, you know, go figure. You know, you kind of know what I need, don't you? Well, yeah, he does, but he wants us to seek. He wants us to ask. And so the other verse I want to read is found in John chapter 6. 6 and verse 28 and 29, I'm going to read. There's a lot in this chapter, but I'm just going to concentrate on these two verses. He said to them, what shall they, being the disciples, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom the Father has sent. Now, I've spent a lot of time this past couple of weeks really meditating and thinking and asking the Lord to help me as a pastor to really get us in a good solid foundational footing as believers. Because the Bible says the days will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, the word doctrine can get you shouted down in some circles today. Put away your doctrine gun. I don't need no doctrine when I go to church. I just want to love everybody, and we just want to be one big happy family. And I don't want any dogma about a particular subject, like maybe justification, sanctification. What does it mean to glorification? What does it mean to have faith that leads to eternal life? How many knows that the Bible says that if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed? How many knows that scripture? Now, if we're free, what does free mean? Okay, I mean, it can mean a lot of things, but when you know who doesn't sleep ever? The devil. You know what his job is? To harass Christians. We're not the only ones that he harasses, but he harasses us particularly. And what is he doing? He's constantly accusing us. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he knows the Bible. How many knows he knows the Bible? If we know what the Bible says about sanctification, if we know what the Bible says about justification, if we know what the Bible says about our foundation of our faith is on solid ground, how many knows that we can have a lot more freedom when we know who we are and where our position is in Christ? Well, I just kind of go by my feelings. Well, you're going to be in a up and down roller coaster ride. Because there's even been days, and I'm just going to give you a true confession. I've come to this church on a Sunday morning, and I've wondered if I'm saved or not by how I feel. And God says, well, you're going to go by how you feel. You're going to get up and brush yourself off. And don't let the devil have the best of you. Amen. And look at what I say. Do you believe that I am the very Christ? Yes, I do. Have you confessed that with your mouth? Yes, I have. Have you been water baptized and made a public confession of that? Yes, I have. Then what's the problem here? Well, I'm in a bad mood. Well, let's get that straightened out. But as far as your salvation goes, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, amen. And you are my child, hallelujah. And this train that you're on is bound for glory. And on the way there, we're going to work on what it means to be holy, amen. Get things right. We're a work in progress. And so, I said that, this is part of what's been on my mind, that I really want to do a good job of getting us to a place of solid, we're just solid Christians, that winds of doctrine cannot blow us off course. Because the Bible says the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And Paul groaned in his spirit. He groaned like a woman in travail. He even said, I'm groaning for you, until you grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, so that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Until you get Christ formed in you to the full measure, we're subject to be knocked around by the lies of the devil and by every trickery and connivement that comes across the wires to try and put us in a place where we're wondering if we're really part of God's family or not. Amen? This is the work of God. We want to do the works of God. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to do the works of God. What do we do? Here's what he said. Believe on him whom the Father has sent. Okay, so let's look at, we're talking about faith in two places. I'm going to just give you, I'm going to throw this out in case I forget it later, because it's on my mind right now. A lot of things on my mind right now. But we have a heart. It's right around here somewhere, right? And we have a mouth. The Bible says, with the heart one believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have a heart. And we have a mouth. We have a head, the brain. And guess what's between our head and our heart? Our tongue. So let's read that. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. I'm having fun with you guys today. This is good. I think this is going to be a good lesson if we can remember this. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess, well, let's look at verse 8 first. It said, but what does it say? The word is on your favorite YouTube channel. What Bible are you guys reading? The word is in your mouth and in your heart. Man, I just got some chili bumps all over me. Holy Spirit presence has an effect on us, doesn't it, sometimes? The word is where? It's near you. What does it say? It's near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you ever confessed that Jesus Christ is, in fact, not only the Lord, but your Lord? See, the devil believes. The Bible says the devil believes it. He even believes more than how a lot of people believe. He believes in the one God, which is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The triune God. A lot of Christians don't believe that. They think Jesus is all three of them. Or they just pray to the Father and they don't ever pray to Jesus. Okay, we're back. See, the devil believes that God is one and trembles. But guess what? His trembling does not save him. His fear of God. The demons cried out in torment. They had a fear of God that people on earth still don't have. Even people that go to church. He trembles. But you know why he's not saved? He can't get his mouth to confess that Jesus Christ is his Lord. Pride stands in the way. That's probably, from what I've heard a lot of different theologians say, is the unpardonable sin, which is original sin, is pride. Now, let's look at how are we going to get this abide in Christ? That's another one. If you go to 1 John, there's a lot in there, but it talks about he that confesses that Jesus is the Christ is from above, and he that confesses not that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. And there's a whole bunch of things in 1 John that speak of our needing to abide in him, allow his word to abide in us, allow his commandments. That's even in 1 John where it says his commandments are not grievous. In other words, it shouldn't be a bummer when God says, thou shalt not tell lies, or thou shalt not steal. Amen. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's horse or wife or car or whatever. All the thou shalt nots, children obey parents, for this is right in the sight of God, and I give you a long life. There's a lot of things about God's commandments that are actually, Paul said, or the writer of John says, they're not grievous. We ought to get to the place where Christianity is just a hoot. Amen? Is that okay to say that? I mean, this thing is this is what makes me, this is like the oil in the engine. It just keeps things smoothed out. And so we need to have these things. How are we going to have these things abide in us? Now, here's what scientists have said. I don't put all my stock in what they say, but they say that when you learn a new truth, you have 10 days to make that yours and to own it. I remember as a young believer in Christ, I'd hear some preacher preach, and I was just fascinated by the things that I was learning. But I learned really quick that if I don't lock on to what I learned that day and go study it at home and really look into it, it'll 2-3 weeks later, I don't have a clue what he said about something. So in my files, I have probably an entire filing cabinet full of notes that I took throughout the years, because I realized I don't have a photographic memory. And I want to learn something, I got to write it down. Amen? And I go back to it. They say you have 10 days to make it yours. And if you learn another truth in that middle of those 10 days, which we all should, as students of God's Word, we should be saying, I want to learn some stuff. How many want to still think there's still something to learn about Christianity? I want to learn something. Well, then, if you can learn a second truth, you only have 14 days to own that and make it yours, not 20. And then they went on to say, if you've learned a third truth and you haven't done something with the first two, you already forgot the first truth you remember. So that's pretty discouraging, isn't it? But you know, the scripture for that is that when the word of God is sown, and that's what I'm doing with you today, the devil comes immediately to steal that away. Now, I remember how that played home with me one time. I had a cassette tape, and I'm going down the road, and I'm listening to this message by somebody, and all of a sudden, I heard something I had not heard before that really captivated me. Wow, really? What was that again? It was gone that fast. I rewound the tape, listened to it, and while I'm listening to it, I get distracted again and forget. I had to do it 3 or 4 times. I had to really try to push that button, rewind, until I grabbed it, because the devil did not want me to grab that new truth. And this is what's really the point of this message today is that we need to make If we learn something, we need to really be diligent to write it down on a piece of paper. Maybe put it on your refrigerator or wherever you visit the most. Your mirror in the bathroom. Put it somewhere where you can be reminded, amen, of what it is that you are really trying to lay hold of and learn about. Jeremiah 33:3 says, and that's in our prayer book, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know about yet. Amen? How many wants to be able to know the great and mighty things? Do you entertain the idea that no eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, those things God has prepared for them that love him? He still wants us to seek, find, inquire. You know, if we inquire, we come to some places in the Bible we don't understand, it's okay to sit down and have the conversation. That's really what prayer is. I'm learning more and more about prayer, that God does not need my instruction or my advice on how to run his world or how to save somebody. But he does need me to follow through on some of the things where it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, that we, when we individually and when we corporately come together in prayer, in agreement. It says if two or three agree as touching anything, that means we've got to get some people around us and agree on something. Then when you pray, something happens in the spiritual realm. Like Esther, when her nation was getting ready to be, her people were going to be annihilated. There was another Holocaust getting ready to happen. And she got her maidens around her as a queen that was married to the king and right-hand man of the king was going to have that nation destroyed. She got the maidens around, and they prayed and they fasted for 3 days. And guess what? God intervened. I'm just wondering, what is it going to take to get the Christian church to really begin to call out upon the Lord? And, you know, what's it going to take? Do we really believe that it's going to work? And if we don't believe, we need to get back, find some examples in the Bible. That's what helps me a lot. I go to the Bible, and I find other people that got up in the morning just like I did. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like I have to do, and they sought God, and God did something in their generation. Now, God, you said in your word, you're not a respecter of persons. If you did it for them, then I can qualify too. I just have to meet the qualifications, whatever. If there's something hindering that, what is it? How many's ever had a bad day? A couple of you? You know, it's not a bad idea for those two that raised their hand. At the end of a bad day, the rest of you stay after church. I want you to tell me how you have all these good days all the time. It's not a bad idea at the end of a bad day to ask yourself, how come I had a bad day? What did I do? What did I not do that was different? Or if you have a good day, how many have had a good day? The rest of you. Why did I have a good day? What did I do today that made this day different from other days? And really what that is, you know, we got to learn as Christian people. God doesn't want us just to be a bunch of dummies running around. Well, whatever happens, happens. I'm just here. I'm just kind of floating along. You know, we don't just live just case sera sera. We need to be finding out, how can I make this work better? If I'm not getting a healing and I'm praying for a healing, what do I need to do different? How desperate are you? And God is there. He wants to come to our aid, but he wants the conversation. That's really what prayer is, conversation. It's like the kid I just shared with you. I won't pick on him. I'll pick on myself. When Kathy and I sat together in church, At 19, we weren't engaged or anything. We were both new Christians. And I found out later there was a song that she did not like when we sang it in church. And it was, "Turn to your neighbor and sing this, I love you with the love of the Lord." And I would say that, "I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the beauty of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord." And she said, "I can't wait till you say I love you with your own love. I'm glad you love me with the love of the Lord." And I finally did. It wasn't that I didn't want to say it, but I was pretty shy. And you know, once you go to that next level, it's either it's break it or make it moment, right? We're not going to be friends, little sister and brother in Christ anymore. Now it's going to be, uh-oh, I didn't mean this to go this far, amen. And, but God, then once we got to that point, then the conversation really began to just take off. We spent hours and hours, and that's what God wants with us. He wants the conversation. Amen. He wants us to share with us things we don't know, don't understand. He's a rewarder of them that inquire, "Why is this not working, Lord? What's going on here?" Or, on the other hand, "Wow, that was just all over the top. I'd love to have more of that." Amen. It's okay. I mean, that's the God that we serve. He wants us to seek Him. Now let's read Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 24. You know, I've read a lot of verses so far, but I really feel like I want to just stop a moment just to pray and have you guys pray with me. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that today's word, Lord, will really help each and every one here. I pray for breakthrough anointing, God, to be released in this place. Lord, that which is hindering some of the healings and the miracles and the move of the Spirit that we want to see, God, just help us to learn our lessons well. Help me, Lord, as the pastor, to convey, Lord, to the people the word that you put on my heart in a way that again brings glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 24. "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and you who hear more will be given. Whoever has to him, more will be given, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him." How many believes it's important that we learn something about what's being said here about what we hear? Now, there's a lot of things that we can't help hearing, isn't there? You go into the workplace, the conversations are going on, you hear it. Amen? You go into the market, you hear things. Where I used to live in Portland, we live right by the fire station. Constant sirens, plus the police. You can't hear. Some things you cannot help hearing. And so maybe this is a good place to ask, sit down and say, "I don't get it, Lord. How am I supposed to take heed to what I hear?" And I believe that the answer can be found. And I discovered this the other day. We had our first YouTube last Sunday's service was on our YouTube, on our website. I had to listen to myself. I said, that's not my voice. I surely don't sound like that still. I mean, I heard myself a long time ago, and I said, I'm never going to listen to myself again, or I'll never preach again. How many knows that you hear, you have more than two ears. You have an inner ear. You don't hear. When you talk, you think that's what you sound like. The recorder will tell you what you really sound like when you hear it back. In the same way, we have to remember that that there's a voice on the inside of us that has the Word of God in it, that this mouth and what we believe is in our heart have to work together. You ever say, well, you know, they'll be off, way off track on their Christian behavior, and you might quote a verse to them. Oh, I know that verse. Memorized it a long time ago. Got it on my mirror at home, actually. Well, what about doing it? Oh, that? Well, you know, in Jewish culture, it's been brought to my attention that that when you say you know something, just by having head knowledge doesn't qualify you to be, say that you know something. It's when you actually act it out, when you activate that very, and you live that out. That's why I think the Jewish writers wrote it in this way. They say, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can get all kind of information, and it gets stored up here. It can even get into the heart. But if the mouth and the heart don't work together, that's what I'm talking about, faith in two places. Your confession, okay, you go into a room and somebody sneezes. Whoops, it's cold season. I better go stock up on NyQuil because I'm surely going to be just as sick as a dog here, just like everybody else. And you forgot all about, in church, you quoted Psalms 91. No plague shall come near my dwelling. The Lord's my healer. Amen. He sent his word and healed me of all my diseases. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No sickness, no disease shall come near my dwelling. Yet God will bless your food and your water and take all manner of sickness and disease away from the midst of thee. What about all that? Yeah, I get you, but it's cold season. Somebody sneezed in the room. And I was in the elevator. I better call the pastor and let him know I won't be in church for about 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm probably down for the count. What about your confession? It is made unto salvation. See, a lot of people don't like to hear this kind of stuff. Oh, that's just that hyper faith stuff. Well, I mean, I could preach doom and gloom and say, you know, God's not a rewarder of them that diligently inquire of him. But I wouldn't be preaching the truth. You know who the first faith teacher was in the Bible? Paul the Apostle. He's the one who wrote all this stuff about believing. And I mean, he's the one that really brought it home by revelation. I know you guys didn't like that last part. I'm moving on, though. What's the Lord saying? He says, take heed. Really, what you hear yourself saying. Take heed. What's your confession? Well, it's like Elisha when he was up there and he was surrounded by armies. And Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, would you show my servant, help him see what I see? And he opened his eyes and he goes, oh my gosh, there's more angels surrounding the armies of God that are surrounding us than the armies of God. Wow. Yeah, because he could see it. And he made a confession, he made a prayer of what he could see and helped bring his servant into that realm. Amen. So put a value on what you hear yourself saying. Now let's look at John 16:23. Get over there. Boy, it's getting windy out there, isn't it? I'm praying that today's message is not just going to be high wind and a lot of smoke. I want the fire to come with it. Amen. 16:23, and Jesus is saying, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, I don't know how many books you guys have read, how many sermons you've heard, but a lot of people say when they're trying to learn how to pray, well, you can't pray to Jesus based on that verse. Because he said, you're not going to ask me for anything. So, later on, let's go to John 14. See, when you read something that you don't understand, how many knows that's a good time to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he's saying here? I mean, that's how I was taught when I first got saved. I went out and got me a Bible. I got some pens. I got some notepads. And I would have my time before I went to work. And I would sit down and read and say, Holy Spirit, please teach me today something new. Please, and give me opportunity to actually act this out later in the day. And he was so faithful to do that. And that's how I started. That's how I broke in my engine, if you will. You know how you break in an engine is how you get the most life out of it. I know somebody that tried to break in their chainsaw some time back. And thankfully, it quit running. They realized there was no oil in it. They don't put the oil in at the factory. But it did come with a manual. How many know people don't like to read the manual sometimes? This Bible is a manual. If we'll read it, it will show us how to get the most out of what the benefits are in Christ. And so, let me just not get ahead of myself too much here. So we have, let's look at John, did I say 16? John 14, I got to find out where I wrote that down. It's just in my mind. John 14:12. So it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will pray the Father. He'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And so going on down the line here, we see that there's John chapter 6. Back over in John chapter 6, Jesus said, you guys are no longer going to ask me. And I probably need to go there just to clarify this. But once they knew that he was the Christ, okay, I'm sorry. It's John 16, verse 30. If I wrote it down right. Okay, so his disciples see, now you're speaking to me plainly, using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus said, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming and has now that you'll be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father's with me. So what did they say? The questions, here's what I want to just kind of drive home. And this should be, if we can remember this. If you can't remember it, we'll go over it some more later, but write it down. Some people are writing this down. But when it comes to the works, remember, the disciples said in John 6, we want to do the works of God. And what were the works? They were asking Jesus, we want to do the works of God. And he said, well, first of all, believe on him whom the Father has sent. Believe that I'm the Christ. And then once you have that settled, that he is Messiah, that all power and all authority has been given to him, and he has distributed that to the church, Jesus Christ is the one that's doing the works. The Father, on the other hand, is, we can inquire of him for stuff. That's what Jesus said. He gave that teaching that the Father, that you being evil, know how to give good gifts. How much more your Father in heaven will he not give to them that ask? You mean it's okay to ask the Father? You know, for maybe my old pickup's not doing so hot. Maybe you got a new one out there for me somewhere. Newer. I mean, I know a missionary that was in Mexico, broke down for the umpteenth time, his old broken down pickup. And along came some people in a high, you know, big tires and powerful engine and blew by him, blew mud all over him. And he's standing out there on the side of the road thinking, dear God in heaven, something not right about this picture. I'm out here doing the work of God. Half the time I'm having to call a tow truck. Do you think maybe I can get me another truck, Lord? He said, I felt kind of hesitant to ask because we've been taught so much in church not to expect much from God. And if you do, you're part of that group that wants nice stuff or whatever. See, we label people, don't we? He said, you know what happened? He said, somebody donated a nice truck to me. And this has been many years ago. He says, I've not ever failed to have a good running newer style truck, and I'm not on the side of the road anymore. But I had to ask first. Now, don't shout me down. Some of you are so holy, you're just so proud that everything you got is up on blocks and doesn't run. No, you can go the other way with this stuff too. I want to keep a good, healthy balance, but God has good things for us. He wants us to use it for His glory, for the kingdom too. You know, that's the main. You ask. James said, "You have not because what? You ask not, or you don't inquire. You don't speak your mind." And he says, "Then if you do ask and you don't get what you were asking for, it's because you ask." With wrong intentions is a proper, you know, it says amiss. That's an old English word. I read that to somebody one time, and they said, well, if you can't ask amiss, can you ask a missus? I said, no. That's not what it means. You ask with wrong intentions, wrong motives. So when you're abiding in Christ and you're having the conversation and you're familiar with the Word of God, you're going to know, if you don't understand the book, let's just say you got a book in your hand, you're not quite sure what the book means, how about going to the author who wrote the book and you'll know what's being said. That makes sense? Hallelujah. So, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what it says in Proverbs. And what we don't know, see, we have to have the Spirit. We can be inquiring, you know, too much in the letter. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And how many knows we need both? And I've said it here before, but I heard this in a conference years ago. But it said, if you have all Spirit, you blow up. If you have all Word, you dry up. If you have Word and Spirit, you grow up. Amen? Now, if you want to own that, you got 10 days. Or you'll be going out of here even by the time you get done with lunch. Boy, today was warm in church. Had fire going, had the heater on. Preacher was kind of humming along. Yeah, that was pretty good. Man, what did he say? I don't know, but it got my attention for a little bit. So, the Word is near you, even in your mouth. We really need to look at what comes out of here. The Bible says in James also that if we could control this tongue, we are the same as a perfect man. Now, a lot of people say, well, no one's perfect, so I'm not even going to try to go down that road. But you know what? We need to be aiming higher. You know? If anybody that's good at something that they do, it's because they never just said, oh, that's good enough. You should always be looking at what you did and say, how could I improve on that? How can I make that better? Pastor Cho, I went to one of his meetings when he was a pastor of the church. I guess it would be the late Pastor Cho. I heard he passed away recently. He had that large church in South Korea. And he said that when he was describing what logos meant, he said it's rice in sack. And rhema is cooked rice. So how many knows what logos is? Maybe I need to stop there and go there first. Logos is the written word. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the logos, or in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus came onto the planet as the Word of God, the written Word of God. But when he faced the devil in the wilderness, and the devil used scripture on him, he used what's called the rhema. He used the right now word. Now, what one theologian put it this way, that if we just use logos, when something comes into our life, we just pick up our Bible and throw it at the devil. But if we're using rhema, we pick a scripture out that applies to that situation. That's what we were learning on a Wednesday night about the transformation. Find a scripture that meets whatever it is you're battling and saturate in that, meditate on it, make it yours, and make it work. And don't stop until it does work. Amen? Hallelujah. So, man shall not live by bread alone. That's what Jesus told the devil. He said, take this bread, Bible, take this bread, and take this stone and make it into bread. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeds out of where? Your YouTube channel? No, your mouth. See the connection? So when God gave faith to us, and we don't even start this journey with Christ until He gives us a measure of faith, He gave it to us in two places. Would have been a lot better if He put it all in one place, wouldn't it? He said, now you got it here, you believe. How many knows when you got saved, you know, something happened, you felt different, you felt joyful, you felt your sins roll away, but you could honestly in your mind, you could say, you know what, I've always believed in God though. I always believed somebody up there. I heard stuff as a child. I believed in God. How many knows it didn't become real until what you believed, you confessed with your mouth and said, Jesus Christ is in fact the Lord, not only of heaven and earth, but he's now, I'm making him my Lord. And that's when something snaps. Something changes, doesn't it? At least it ought to. For different people, there's different things that change. But the fact is, I know when my story was, I knew life is not going to be the same as it was, starting right now. I don't know how that's going to work, but it's going to work. And I had to begin to use my mouth. I had to change the way I processed things I talked about. I had to stop doing a lot of things that I was doing, but my mouth began to speak things that were in my heart. I read the Bible, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if we start gossiping, start running people down, start questioning everything, we are actually helping the devil in his cause. But when we do it God's way, what God has much to say about what should come out of our mouth. Had this conversation over Christmas, over Thanksgiving. And, you know, all the different dainties that we love to eat, right? Well, that's not good for you. Well, you know what my comeback for that was? Probably not. But Jesus said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, but because what you put in your mouth, the body knows what to do with it. It knows whether to put it in your bloodstream or put it in the toilet, if I can go there. But with the mouth, you are defiled by what comes out of your mouth. Jesus said, on that great day of judgment, every word, every idle word is going to be weighed. And I'm working down in Portland right now in Vancouver on what they call one of the jobs is a media center. And they're getting ready to build two great big media centers. It's going to take a couple years to build it. But they're storing everything that's being said. How many knows if man can store things that God has a great computer? We need to really take thought on what comes out of this mouth. Amen. Thank God that we can go to the cross and say, God, forgive me. You know, wash my mouth out with soap, whatever you need to do, but help me to start containing, controlling, and bridling my tongue. Can you go up? Can somebody get Kathy? I need the team to come up here and rescue me. I hope this is helping you all today. This is so critical that we watch what comes out, that our heart, if we get the word in us, it'll change us. In fact, I had it's interesting, I was talking to Mike this morning. I said, Mike, I hope you've stayed up and you prayed up so you can get up there and say up something. And he said, well, I didn't stay up last night. But I said, we did stay up some other nights. But the very scripture that Mike brought out had to do with heart. He brought that out. I said, well, that goes in line with not only what we're singing. I didn't know that until they sang it, but it goes along with the message. But I went to a church when I was a young convert, and the pastor said, I can tell you who's in the Word during the week and who isn't just by looking around. And so many times I'd come up and say, you know, Pastor, the very thing that you preached on this week, I've been studying in my Bible this week. He said, that's because the Holy Spirit is orchestrating everything. And if the whole church would study their Bible, we'd all be excited on Sunday morning at what was coming at us. Amen? That's what's out there for us. Amen? And so, just to put a cap on this, if I could. When our spirit, when we got born again, it was our spirit that got born again. Amen. I remember some of the early songs out of the 70s during the altar call. If you feel the Lord calling you, listen to your heart instead of your head. The brain gets bypassed. The spirit gets born again. The brain works with the soulish realm, but your heart works with your spirit realm. And there's an old devil that sits on your shoulder. And you know what we need to do? I picture Marine on her horse. I don't know if you practice this or not, but we need to learn how to lasso the devil like we would at a rodeo, one of those steers, and bring that baby down. When he sits on your shoulder and try and tell you, yeah, go ahead and run your mouth and gossip about somebody, it's okay. Everybody does it. Go ahead and let negative things come out of your mouth that you know are harmful, and you hope to God no one, that person never overhears that, because it would ruin the relationship. See, that's what the brain works with the soulish realm. We have two natures going on inside of us. But I believe that we'll be word people, prayed up people, asking the Lord, we will be able to live in a more joyful and more peaceful realm as Christians. There's nothing better than having a peace-filled, joy-filled, Holy Spirit-inspired day, amen. And when we have some of those, we ought to ask ourselves, what did I do to have this happen? And when you have the bad days, be able to look at it and say, you know what, I had a bad day, but here's what I did, and I should not have probably been doing that. I think I just sabotaged my own path today. Aren't you glad that you have check engine lights and instruments on your automobile? They're there to warn you. Oil pressure's not quite where it needs to be. Maybe I'd be able to pull over and check the oil. Amen? God's given us instruments. If we're not walking in joy and peace, and that's where the presence of the Lord is, then we're missing it. And God wants us to get us back on the right track. Amen? So let's just bow our heads and we're going to sing. And you can go ahead and lower the lights, Bob. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that, Lord, what we have talked about today, what I've preached about, Lord, that you will seal it in our hearts, that we will not be forgetful hearers, but ready doers. And Lord, as we go about doing what you're calling us to do, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that as we work with you in this great harvest, Lord, your word says that the reapers are going to overtake those that are planting and sowing. Lord, I want to be part of that company. That we're just a group of people that are full of your Holy Spirit, full of your joy. Lord, whatever's hindering us from seeing miracles and healing break loose, Lord, just help us to get to that place where we're not satisfied to just go about life. But Lord, we are going for the prize to the high calling. Living with you, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to open up these altars for you, and we're going to sing a song, but allow this to be a moment where you allow the Holy Spirit to take an assessment and where there needs to be some changes. Just tell the Lord, by the help of God, I'm going to alter what I say and do in this area, that we can have a good confession that matches what we've been instructed to do in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do His work now as we worship.
Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true, 'cause I am found. I am yours. Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love. love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. To you, Lord, that you'll take our hearts and begin to mold them and shape them. And Lord, our hunger is for you. Lord, we just ask you that you touch us. We've heard your word today, but Lord, let there be life coming in so that there's change going out. And Lord, let us not be afraid to look at ourselves, because that can be the scariest thing. But we only want to please you. And we know that we need you every moment of the day. Thank you, Lord.
So, in closing, John chapter 6, verse 66, many walked with his disciples no more. Or the disciples walked with Jesus no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away also? But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to tell you right now the thing that what makes the distinction between Christianity and all the other religions of the world is that we have not trying to save ourselves by any, we didn't work our way in, but Christ paid the absolute full price of it. Just like at Christmas time this year, if you get a present, You enjoy that present, you say thank you, but you don't try to go ask, give money to the person that bought it to you and say, can I help you buy this? Then it's no longer a gift anymore. Right? And so, well, I just know there's so much confusion in the church world today about whether I'm saved or whether I'm not. Like John just handed me these little, I haven't read them yet, but it says millions missing. When millions suddenly vanish from all over the world, this explains what just happened. He said everyone needs to take one of those and leave it in your house. So when we're not here anymore and the neighbors come to ransack your house, they'll have an instruction on what to do. It's not, you know, not so funny, but it is a reality that Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming for those that have made a true confession that Jesus Christ is in fact the one sent from God as the Savior of this world. And he's not just that to the rest of the world, but he's that to me personally. And so, why don't we just stand to our feet and I'm not going to ask you to tell your neighbor you love them with the love of the Lord, but you need to look at your neighbor and say, you know what, I'm going to really work on having a good confession that lines up with God's word in the coming days. Amen. Can you do that? And we'll just go through this song one more time. Humbly I come to you, Lord, on my knees. Just pray one for another if you feel the unction to function in that direction. Then we'll be... Wednesday night, we are going to start learning more about some foundational things on how we can... we're going into a new season. We're going to, how we can solidify what we believe and how we can also share that successfully in a way that can help bring people to Christ, because that's really what our new challenge is, the reaper overtaking the sower. Many have sowed, but we need to learn how to close the deal and bring people to Christ. We're going to start this Wednesday. Amen. I will be first one up to bat, and we're going to have others, Gene and I think Mike, when he gets back from Yom on Wednesdays, he's going to help. We're going to tag team the devil in this area. Amen. So let's sing this, and then if you feel to pray for one another, encourage each other before you leave, make a new friend. God bless you.